The religious leaders in the time of Jesus, namely the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the scribes, are having a very difficult time the past several weeks in our readings. For a while, Jesus kept telling parables, and at the end of the parable, they realized that, well, hey, he's talking about us. And so they were going to try to get even. And they did that by simply saying, well, we will engage him in public discourse. And we will put him in such a situation that no matter what he says, he will be wrong. And we will be able to show the people the shallowness of this man's ministry. And so last week we had the coin. Is it lawful to pay taxes or not? No matter what Jesus said, he was going to be wrong. If you said, yes, pay taxes, well, that was to Rome and it went to Rome. If you said, don't pay taxes, well, that was against Rome. And in between last reading and our reading today comes another section where it was the Sadducees this time. And the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection from the dead. And so they went to Jesus and they asked him that very convoluted question that a man is married to a woman and he dies. And by virtue of tradition, one of the brothers had to marry her. Well, all of them die. Now, when they get to heaven, whose wife would she be? Well, that didn't get the necessary result either. And so we begin this particular reading with the Pharisees knowing that, well, Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, so they're going to take another shot at it. And so they bring in the big guns. They bring in a teacher of the law. And the law in the time of Jesus was very, very complicated. They had 613 laws that they had garnered from the Pentateuch and the prophets. There was sort of a hierarchy, but not a real big hierarchy. And so he asked the question thinking that, well, no matter what he answers, there's another law that's maybe even more important. So they ask him. And we know the answer that Jesus gives. He says, I have summarized the law and the prophets for you. Love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Not that complicated. Summarize 613 laws in two. In two. You know, the Congress now, they're getting to debate, well, tax reform, and they want to be able to get it done on a postcard. I don't think that's going to happen. But that's precisely what Jesus did here today. He put all that convoluted and very complicated law on a postcard. Love God above all things. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And we know those. But it's interesting, though, when you look at it, there's a priority. And it doesn't matter if it comes from Mark's gospel or it's in Matthew's gospel. He says, first, and neither of these two commandments, Jesus didn't invent either of them. They're both in the Old Testament. He just sort of put them together. And the first commandment is the great Shema. And it's the prayer that begins all Jewish celebrations. It's a prayer that they say several times a day. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is God. Him alone will you adore. There is only one God. You will adore him. That's priority. And then comes the second one. You shall love your neighbor. Well, why does the one to love God come first? Because you can make a very good argument. If we cannot love God, we cannot love our neighbor. Because how are we made? We are made in the image of God. We're made in God's image. If we cannot love God, how are we going to love people made in his image? And I don't think it's by accident that as we get to be less and less of a religious country and a religious world, the conflicts that we seem to be experiencing are getting more and more violent. They're getting more and more violent. And it's not just violence in the sense of, okay, physical violence or anything like that. I mean, the name-calling, the demonizing of other people. Because we don't love God. Or they don't believe there is a God. So if there is no God, how can anybody be made in God's image? So if there is no God to love, why should I love my neighbor? But that's precisely what Jesus is telling us. The love of God comes first. And then because that neighbor of yours is made in the image of God, you have to love him as well. And if you want to see where this is sort of spelled out a little bit more, we're in the 22nd chapter of Matthew's Gospel. And within a couple of weeks, we're already in what we call the 30th week of ordinary time. The last weekend of November is going to be the Feast of Christ the King. And we're going to have a reading from the 25th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, the one we're all familiar with, the parable of the final judgment. Blessed are you, when you saw me hungry, you gave me something to eat. That reading on which we base our corporal works of mercy. And what is the answer that Jesus gives the people when they say, I don't remember it. When did I see you hungry and feed you? When did I see you thirsty and give you something to drink? When did I see you naked and clothe you? When were you in prison or in the hospital and I came to visit you? As often as you did it for one of these, my brothers and sisters, you did it for me. You did it for me. Because all those people, the people that are hungry, the people that are thirsty, the people that are naked, the people that need to be visited, they are made in my image. They're made in my image. And that's why you need to love them. They're made in my image. Because I'm willing to bet that anybody here, if Jesus walked into this place, which he will in a little bit, you know, in the sacrament of the Eucharist, but if he walked up to your house or said, oh, I'm thirsty, I will bet you'll give him something to eat. Come on in, sit down. I'll get you something to eat. Would you like something to drink? Would you like something else? I'll bet if you knew that was Jesus, you would give him something to eat. And yet, how about those other people that come to us seeking food? Do we sort of simply dismiss them? Well, they smell bad because they haven't been able to bathe, and how often they're homeless. Or we simply say, well, it's your fault, you know. It's your fault because you don't have a job. And all those other things we can blame on them. Just to sort of make ourselves feel okay because we didn't respond to their needs. And Jesus would say, sorry, there's no difference. If it's me or if it's that stinky man that comes in there that wants food, that's my image. You need to take care of him. But if we don't believe there's a God, how can you be made in the image of God? And so, he simplified everything for us. It's not that complicated, he said. There's a few things you have to remember. And normally when I have the children in first penance class, I'll ask them, well, anybody here, can you memorize 613 rules? Oh, no. How about 100? Some brave soul might raise their hand. How about 10? Oh, a lot of them raise their hands. How about 2? Everybody raises their hand. We can all memorize 2. But remember the hierarchy there. Love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. We love God. We love our God. And he has created us in the image of God. And that's why everybody else deserves our love and respect as well. Oh, we might disagree with them, but we must always respect them. Because they're made in God's image. And as I said, you can see it all over the place today. As we get less and less religious, we get more and more cantankerous with each other. Name-calling, etc., etc. And that's not being Christian. Jesus didn't say you had to agree with them. But he said you must respect them because they are made in my image.